Yeah, thanks for everyone who participated in the fast. And as the scripture says, you know, when one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. When one suffers, we all suffer. And so whether you're able to participate in the fast or not, you will reap a reward, reap the benefit of those because of those who did. So it's wonderful. Yes. Okay. Just a practical suggestion to meet in the front lobby here, the elevator lobby, at 9 or 8:45, and then we'll go from there to whoever wants to come. All right, here we go. I want to put up our 2019 church memory verse. Could you put up Matthew 22, 37, and 40? I'm not going to expect you to. Here, let's read it together. All right. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So I hope you commit this passage to memory, hide it in your heart for your life, for 2019, and draw from it all throughout the year to remember. The new year is a good time to go back to basics, really look at what are we doing, why are we doing it, what are we here for, what is God's will. And this is a major, 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 it's the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord. And so you can't go wrong with this. There's all kinds of other things that come from that, of course. The Bible is full of a lot more than that, but this is a mega theme throughout, and I believe your spiritual walk will be benefited greatly as you memorize this. And in difficult times, challenging times, remember, this is what it's about. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then Deuteronomy says, which is Jesus was quoting, Deuteronomy 6:5, with all your strength. And to the Jew, the word strength or might is all-encompassing. It's everything you got. Physically, spiritually, just mentally, emotionally, everything. With all your might. Love the Lord over everything. And so, yes, it's great to know our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. Amen? It's great to know that we'll be given eternal life because of Jesus. It's great to know hell is not our destination. It's not where we're going because of the blood of Jesus. It's great to know we don't need to worry about provision. It's great to know that He's given us all things we need for life and godliness because of Jesus. These things are amazing and wonderful, but those are what I believe are the side benefits of knowing God through Jesus. Those are just the fringe benefits, and there's a real key to it all. And I think Psalm 29, 1 and 2 is the mega key to it all. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." And today I want to encourage you to worship the Lord. It's the title. Worship the Lord is what I want to talk about for this morning and for this year as a repeat theme, as an overarching theme of your life and this year. I just want to pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us the ability to love you. You give us your grace and that you called us, you came and sought us out. Lord, I just pray that you would give us eyes to see and give us revelation, ears to hear what you want to speak to us today. Father, I pray that you would minister your healing, minister your life, minister your truth to us as we look into your word and receive encouragement and challenge. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you saved us. Thank you that you have many great and wonderful promises that are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, bless our time. We thank you that you're the supernatural God, and you speak to us, and you care about us in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So there's a huge example in the Old Testament that's a picture of what our lives before Christ and after Christ look like and should look like, and how we learn from the story of the Israelites' exodus out of Egypt. It's a major, major story. If you want to learn how to walk in your faith in Christ, it's like chapter by chapter, story by story of how we were slaves to sin, slaves to bondage. In bondage to sin and darkness and death and hopelessness. They were multiple generations slaves. They didn't know anything else. They were 430 years slaves to Pharaoh. And then they were delivered by God's doing, not by their own doing. They couldn't deliver themselves, but God did it. Just like we can't save ourselves, no matter how many good works, no matter how much money you give to the church, you could try. Go ahead and try. Give all your money to church. I don't care. Just go ahead and try. You know, you'll find that it won't help. It won't help. So it was God's doing that delivered them. The Red Sea symbolizes their deliverance through water baptism. And the scripture teaches, we overcome, we become new, and the devil is defeated, and we are a new creation in Christ through the waters of baptism and obviously by our faith, but there's a real significance through water baptism. And then God provides in the wilderness, in the desert, when it seems impossible, like there's no way this is going to work out, and it works out in Israel's example in the wilderness, just like ours. And then God has them fighting enemies. He has a promised land, but they have to fight for it. And he has a promised land for us. He has promised heaven, and not just heaven then, but a land now that's full of goodness and blessing. And God wants to honor us. And it's the story of Exodus is just an amazing parallel of our lives. And it's a story loaded with meaning for us in our spiritual lives. And it all starts with God having spoken to Moses to tell Pharaoh what? Starts out, Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go so that they can worship me." That's where it begins. Not so they can be delivered, so they don't have to serve you anymore, so they can be free, so I can provide for them out in the wilderness, so they can have their own nation. All that comes, but the first and the primary reason that God has Moses speak to Pharaoh is set them free so they can worship me. And I just want that to sink in. That to me is the overriding main theme of a relationship between you and God. Everything else, as wonderful as it is, salvation, promises, deliverance, provision, all those come after the fact of we're just made to worship God. Worship the Lord. Exodus 7:16, it says, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." Point number one, we were set free to worship God. That's the primary reason you were delivered from drug addiction or booze abuse or depression or whatever thing had a stranglehold on your life. God delivered you and is delivering you from those things so that you'd be free to worship Him. Eternal life in heaven is a bonus. That's a bonus. Restored relationships with people, bonus. Forgiveness and peace with God, forgiveness of your sins, it's a bonus. God providing all we need for life and godliness, bonus. That's not the goal. That was never the goal, that you just, you know, go to God to get all your needs met. That comes with the package, though. And we were set free so we could worship Him, and He deserves it. He deserves it. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name." If ever there was someone who deserved our wholehearted worship, it's the Lord God Almighty. And there is none other. Just like Ray said, like we worshiped this morning, like the lyrics of these songs of worship, the Savior and Deliverer. Jesus is his name. The one who provided in the wilderness and spoke to Moses out of the fire on the mountain. The one who sent his son to bleed and die for our payment and forgiveness. The one who prepares a place for us to be with him forever. In a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, and no death. He's worthy of all praise. All these things that he's done, when you get to know who he is, he's worthy. And I hope you're grateful for that. I hope you live a life of gratefulness for that. Where did the Magi come? Or what did the Magi come to do shortly after Jesus was born? Matthew 2:2. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. The wise men of the east, that was their main objective. Not to get anything from him, they knew he was not quite 2 years old, somewhere around 2 years old. And they said, we have come, we saw his star, and we have come to worship this child, king. And they gave him gifts, and they gave practical demonstrations of their worship. It all starts with, we were set free from darkness. We were set free to worship him. Jesus told Satan to get lost when he was being tempted in the wilderness. He ended his temptations, 40 days of fasting and prayer and being tempted by the devil, he was led by the Spirit of God to be tempted in the wilderness, because he said, for it is written, he said, away from me, Satan, depart from me, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And that was the big key, worship the Lord only. And just worship him, worship God. Years ago, we helped rescue a stray dog, and it became a great pet with great memories, and had it for a few years. But God rescues us to be with him forever, forever. It's not just God rescues us, oh, I'm going to get you out of alcoholism, I'm going to get you out of bondage to whatever it might be, drugs, depression, oppression. And then now, all right, go your own way. I'm done with you. I got you out. You good? You good? All right, good. It's like, no. God rescues us so we can worship him, so we can have a relationship, a long-term, loving, healthy, back-and-forth relationship. And we don't worship God in any old way. I want to look at number two. We're to worship God in spirit and truth. And this term comes from a conversation Jesus had with a woman at the well in John 4. They were discussing certain mountains and places and techniques of worship and conditions. And Jesus said in John 4:23, says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. It's not a mountain in Israel. It's not this mountain is more special than that mountain. It's not the temple is the place to worship. Jesus was saying a time is coming and has come where worship will be a matter of the heart, not a matter of a geographical location or a certain style or for a certain people. Because he tore that veil. That veil was torn from the top to the bottom, made wide open so that everyone could come directly to God, not through a priest, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Jew and Gentile are made free to come directly to the Father and worship him and receive from him and speak to him and live for him. Jesus made it possible. Worship became a matter of the heart, not a location, and directed by truth, not technique. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every part of you, every part of us. Loving God in spirit, we have to love him in spirit and in truth. Love him in spirit with a genuine, emotional, heartfelt connection. It has to be down deep. I mean, we have to feel a love for God emotionally. You love God, you feel grateful, you feel like expressing him expressing your love to him, but it's also based on truth. It's a proper knowledge of who he is. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. It's got to be, it's not just emotionally based, it's not just emotionally charged. It has to be based on the truth of who he is, his true identity, not what you want him to be, what he really is. And when you get to know who he really is, you will all the more want to worship him wholeheartedly. And it's a great circle, it's a great cycle. If it's only based on truth and no heart, no spirit, then it becomes a duty-bound, joyless, legalistic experience. I'm going to worship the Lord. Dag nabbit, that's what we do on Sundays. That's what we do. Shut up, kid, we're worshiping the Lord. And it's like, it's not that, which just happened to me, and I know there's timing, there's everything, but my granddaughter wanted, just as I'm about to start one of our evening meetings last night, which was worshiping the Lord to start with, she's like, Papa, hold me, I didn't want to tell me, just a second, we got to go worship the Lord. Hold it. Shut up, kid, we got to go worship the Lord. So, there's exceptions, no, but spirit, spirit, she understood, and she came. Spirit without truth leads to a shallow, emotional-based experience, and if the worship of God ends when the emotions end, if that's all you got, it's like, Jesus is awesome, he saved my life, I'm delivered, wow, whoa, wow, and then you don't get to know who Jesus is fully, and then the emotions run away and dry up, and it's like, oh, I'm done with church, I'm done with the whole Jesus thing, it didn't really last, I tried that, and so it dries up. So it's not just emotionally charged, which is wonderful that it's emotionally charged, but it's emotionally charged based on truth, based on he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. He is amazing. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Deliverer. He's the Savior. He's the one who walked on water. I mean, Jesus is the promised deliverer of the prophets and the law. It all reflects who he is and what he's about. And the more you get to know him, the more wonderful is your worship to him. It's a wonderful cycle. The more you know him, the more you appreciate him. The more you appreciate him, the deeper your heartfelt worship goes. The deeper our worship, the more God is glorified. Spirit and truth. In life, it's so important to get your eyes off yourself and fix them on Jesus. You can say, thank you, God, I'm not struggling with alcohol anymore. I got it from now. You know, I'm good, I don't need you anymore, thank you. And then just start living your life the way you think you should live it. Trouble. It's just trouble. You have to continually get to know him. Continually keep him as Lord, as the master, the boss, the leader, the supreme one in your life. And the more that becomes a habit in 2019, the more you'll fall emotionally and intellectually in love with the Almighty. And you'll be living out what I believe is your main reason for being saved. Is a love relationship with God based on spirit, whole heart, and truth. And you will be growing in knowledge and understanding and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord God Almighty. That's what we talk about with parents dedicating their children. They agree to raise their children under the nurture and admonition of the Lord based on his word, not just based on stay out of bars and stay out of movie theaters. Which I don't hold to. It's not just be good. God's not just looking for you to be good. Right. Be nice, don't sin, and I'll see you in heaven. It's like, no, he wants an ongoing relationship with us now every day of the week. Yeah. Every day of the week. And yeah, he'll show us what we should and shouldn't do along the way, but those are fringe things. The main thing is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And good things happen. Psalm 109 is not up there, but 30 says, with my mouth, you have to choose to engage. With my mouth, I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng, I will praise him. I want you to put up a song there. God uses music to get to our hearts. Some of you may recognize this song. I know it from many years ago. I don't know where I learned it. I don't think we've ever done it here. But with my mouth, I will choose. And we need to turn our eyes on Jesus. It's all about daily. Turn your eyes. When things are looking bad, turn your eyes on Jesus. When things are rough, when something has gone wrong, turn your eyes on Jesus. And I want you to sing this together with me. Okay, here we go. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now we're going to do it again, just in case there's anyone that wasn't moving their lips. Because this is a main point I want to make, is you choose to worship the Lord with your body, with your mouth. It's an act of your will. You don't just think it. God's there in your thoughts, and that's fine. But choose. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Move your lips. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your eyes being on Jesus, the deliverer, the savior, the one who loved you enough to bleed and die and suffer and be killed unjustly, to endure a horrible trial, which was completely illegal, to endure punishment for the sins of the world when he never committed one of them. This man, God, this man who felt pain, you know, you cut him, he feels it the way you would have felt it. You drive spikes through his hands, he felt it the way you and I would feel it. He was not immune to this. He wasn't this supernatural robot that just did what he was told. He set his face like flint and went to Jerusalem, knowing that he would be crucified. It says he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. There was no going back. He didn't waver on that. He had talked to his disciples about it. Hey guys, I'm gonna be arrested, I'm gonna be tried, and I'm gonna be crucified. But in 3 days, I'm gonna rise from the dead. He spoke of it over and over. So when we think about him wrestling in the garden, it wasn't wrestling on the decision, should I do this, should I not do this? Should I do this, should I not do this? He was declaring it all along. It was a given. It was a done deal. I'm going to do this. I think someone said, and I agree, it's all speculation, but I think he was wrestling, agonizing in the garden over choosing to do it fully as a man and not use the God card, supernatural, to get out of some of the pain and the suffering so that he could do it fully as a human. Because, you know, he said, I can call legions of angels to his disciples when they tried to stop him from being arrested. It's like, stop! stop. I could call legions of angels and annihilate everyone here, all these guards. It's like, that was not what he did. And when you're going through difficulties, turn your eyes upon Jesus and behold the Lamb who was slain. Get your eyes off yourself. Lean not on your own understanding. One more thing.
All the way. There. Okay, I typically don't do this, but as I was driving into church this morning, I felt the Lord quicken in my heart, you know, just that Jesus understands. And I was thinking of the scripture that his knowledge is infinite and his understanding is unfathomable. We know that about God, but I felt like the Lord said, Jesus understands you. And I felt like I was supposed to, like, someone needs to hear this Amen. Morning, that whatever Amen. You're going Amen. Through, Amen. He really, really does understand. Well, you could say, well, Jesus was never married, but Jesus knew the pain of rejection. He knew relationships. He lived fully as a man on the earth to enter into every struggle that we experience as people. So whatever you're going through, he is with you. God with us. Amen. He's with you in your struggle, and he understands.
Amen. That's great. That's great. Yeah. She can, if there's one more thing, feel free. This is body ministry here. It's my wife. You don't have to be related to me if you feel like God's speaking to you about something. You can. But I encourage, I just want to say as a pastor, worship is a big deal to this church. And I encourage singing. Move your mouth. Engage your mouth. You don't have to raise your hands like I love to, which is a symbol of surrender. God, you are so awesome. What do you do when, your favorite sports team or something great happens? It's just natural to want to go, yeah, yeah. Ooh, now there's a word of truth. We don't know. Well, hypothetically, say you knew a team that was really good and something good happened and for you, I don't know about you, but my arms want to go up. It's like, yes, 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 or yeah, or something, it's natural. My sins are forgiven. Yes, I'm not going to hell or the lake of fire forever. Thank you, Jesus. I know I deserve it. I know I deserve to be punished forever. Clearly. And if you think very long at all about yourself and what God says is sin and what the wages of sin are, death, eternal separation, you would say you deserve the lake of fire forever as well. But God had a different plan. And God sent his son. In the fullness of time, a virgin would be found with child, and this child would be raised, not under the curse of Adam, but sinless, and be the only one qualified to be a sacrificial lamb that could die and take the punishment of God. And we put our faith in what he did, and that is our righteousness that makes us forgiven and righteous before a holy God who demands justice. And he poured out the true justice of our punishment on his son. And it's like, I encourage you to sing and let the words, which, they're not necessarily scripture, but they're declared truth when we worship on Sunday morning. or any day of the week. And I just want to say, it's not just about Sunday mornings. Any day of the week, I encourage you to make melody in your heart before God. And it talks about bringing, worshiping the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Praise led the armies of Israel. It was the worship team, the musicians that led in battle in Israel. That was the most powerful force that God said, when he thought about who's my best, my archers, my, you know, whatever, ones with spears, ones with swords. No, my musicians. Send the musicians first. That's what gets me every time when I'm Scottish, Irish, and bagpipes is a weapon of warfare. Yeah. They would play bagpipes on the hills to fill the enemy with fear and dread that the army was coming. And I mean, if you ever look into it, they got daggers and swords and bagpipes. Music before the Lord is powerfully effective against the enemy. And so I encourage you to sing on Sunday mornings, sing at home while you're driving, sing wherever it is. Because music was God's idea. It's his idea to connect him to us at a heart level, to go beyond the head and go into the heart. I mean, just if I started singing a song from, if you guys, you know, of age, I'm 58, from the 70s, it's like, bang, there's not just a mental recognition, but there'd be a whole bunch of memories and thoughts that would come with those songs. Commercial jingles, you know. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. I mean, those things, you still remember the lyrics when it's put to music. And that's God-given. God put his truth to music so that we could engage at the heart level. And I encourage that. When things are tough, sing to the Lord. When things are rough, sing to the Lord. And this is, my third point, worshiping God sets us free again. We were set free to worship God, and worshiping God sets us free again. In Job's great pain of learning of losing his children and all his belongings, he got up, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship. When things are tough and in life, and the best thing you can do is wholeheartedly worship God. That's the first order of business, God. And our nature, our flesh, will want us to run far from God and curse God and say, God, why are you letting this happen? Why did you let that happen? But God designed us to know him at the heart level, and worship will connect you. Praise his name. When King David was down, he spoke to his own soul. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Put your hope in God. And David had a lot of reason to be cast down and to be fighting discouragement and depression. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth, but in spirit and in truth, stirs us and gets us readjusted to the reality of who God is and the reality of his glory and his grace. The Old Testament all over says, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, which is an invitation, give thanks. And the New Testament repeats that, give thanks in all circumstances, and clarifies it. There is no circumstance that you can't give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No matter what you think, no matter what you see, or no matter what you feel, it's always God's will for you to give thanks. And then it goes on and says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say it. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Always. And you'll get set free from whatever by worshiping God. Psalm 50:23 says, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and they prepare the way so that I may show them the salvation of God. It's one of my favorite verses. We were set free to worship Him, and worshiping Him sets us free again. And I want to conclude with this final point, and I would want the worship team, I've asked the worship team to come up, and I do want to finish with a song of worship. Final point is, for to worship God is a choice. It's a choice that we make. And oh, I'm not the emotional type. Oh, I'm not the singing type. Oh, I don't have a good voice. Oh, I'm stoic. Oh, I'm German. Oh, I'm Minnesotan. Whatever. I want to say, whatever. You know, if I could bring up a video of your life when you were excited about something and you're going, ah, dancing around, like, ah. I know it's in you. I know you could do it. I know you could do it. And I know the more we get to know who God is, the more natural it will be to go, yes, Jesus. Thank you, God. And I know we're all, you know, Minnesotan and all that. And God knows it doesn't come easily. And that's why He wrote so many times, praise the Lord, ascribe to the Lord, the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty and the splendor of His holiness. Worship the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you have a breath? Do you have breathing? Are you breathing? Then you qualify. Then you're invited to praise the Lord. We're all in this. This is all related to our 2019 church memory verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to help you get free and fall deeply, emotionally, and intellectually in love with God in this new year. And worship Him more freely than you did in 2018. And I know we got a lot of worshipers here. So you don't have to go crazy. I'm not asking for that. I'm not asking for emotionally charged, stirred up, you know. But I'm just inviting you. We're just going to worship the Lord and to close. And then I'll close in prayer. And this is not just on Sundays. I'm just going to invite you to worship Him while driving, while worshiping at home, while in the shower, while you're shoveling snow. Thank you, Jesus. Turn your eyes upon. Love living in Minnesota, Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And so, all the time, everywhere, you got bad news. Thank you, Jesus. Because all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to whose purposes? His purposes. If He disappoints you in something that you thought you were heading for and actually praying for, you can trust that He has something even better. Something even better than you had thought up. So let's, whether I'm going to invite you to sit, stand, feel free, whatever. I just want to finish with a song and then pray. Let God, you know, with my mouth I will extol you. With my mouth I will give you praise. I will exalt the Lord. I will worship His name. Let God minister to you. And I believe as you sacrifice and surrender your mouth to the Lord, maybe you're not a big singer, I would like to encourage you to be a little singer. Start somewhere. Start. Move your mouth. Sing to the Lord. And when you move your mouth, which will force you to look at the words, and those words and the truth of those words will go into your heart. And those words in your heart will go into your spirit. And those words in your spirit will set you free to worship Him even more. And you may even do this. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you're worthy. Let's worship the Lord.
is all I need. It's all I want and all I seek. And without it, without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need. And without it, without it, I'm not living. I'll exalt, and I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. And I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high.
Sing your presence.
Your presence is all I need. It's all I want and all I seek. And without it, without it, there's no meaning. It's your presence. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need. And without it, I'm not living. I'll exalt, and I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. And I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted. Lifted high, there will be no one. There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. You alone are worthy of all praise.
Come on, let's proclaim that this morning.
There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. You alone are worthy of all praise.
There will be no one.
There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. Worthy of all praise.
There will be no one.
There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. You alone are worthy of all praise.
There will be no one.
There will be no
I will exalt you, Lord.
exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. And I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you. And no other name be lifted high. Sing no other name. No other name be lifted high.
Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you've set us free to worship you, and that worship sets us free again. God, bury that deep into our hearts and our spirits. God, that we can draw from the truth of that, the reality of that, that you came to seek and save that which was lost. You came to undo all the works of the devil. You came to restore the brokenhearted, the oppressed, the weak, the lost. God, give us revelation more and more of who you are. God, that we would gaze upon your beauty more and more in 2019 and be greater worshipers of you this year than last year. Father, thank you for the great price that you paid to make it possible for us to be connected to you at all. Lord, thank you, God, for who you are. And God, help us in our own free will to make you the primary object of our worship. Lord, help us to worship you in a heartfelt way that would model what we want our children and our grandchildren to do when we're gone. Lord, that we would be worshipers of you in a way that we want replicated in others, in our family. God, not to sit around and wait and give excuses about, oh, I'm not that kind of person, I'm not an emotional person, I'm not. It's like, Jesus, you saved us. You set us free to worship you. And Lord, help us to repent of anything. And Lord, to get set free of anything and everything that would hinder a vibrant love back and forth relationship with you. Wherever we are, whatever day of the week it is, whatever circumstances we're in, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come forward to the altar here after we're dismissed. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, if there's something that you want to confess to someone else, it's just good. Scripture says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Sometimes it's good to come on a Sunday morning, come to the altar, come to someone that there's always going to be someone to pray with you here to my left. And to get these things in the light where the devil has no leverage on it. But your eternity is a long time. And this life is precious, and we want you to make the most of it. And that's made by a strong connection with the Lord God Almighty. in spirit and in truth. So, Father, bless this week. Thank you that you deserve our praises. You deserve the praises of the nations. Bless our day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.